precedes this sacrament, brotherly. Fasting and bodily preparation are certainly fine outward training. But that person is truly worthy and well prepared who has faith in these words, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. But anyone who does not believe these words or doubts them is unworthy and unprepared, for the words for you require all hearts to believe. They're probably more concerned about medicine taking than taking the Lord's Supper, the medicine of immortality. It's true, a mistaken prescription medicine can make you weak, sick, or even kill you. But Paul says that unworthy communion can do that and bring God's judgment down on you. Let's be clear, when we talk about worthy communion, we are not talking about closed communion. That's about who should commune together, not about who should commune at all. Just because we don't commune a person at this altar doesn't mean we think that they are unworthy communicants and would receive the Lord's body and blood to condemnation. You should explain this to your friends and relatives that we don't commune. You should also tell yourself that just because you can commune at this altar doesn't mean you're necessarily a worthy communicant. You could be communing out of habit, duty, command, or custom. You should never commune for these reasons. So how do you know if you're a worthy communicant? An unworthy communicant doesn't feel his sins, but defends them. Communion is a meal of forgiveness. Christ gave his body and shed his blood on the cross to pay for the sins of the world. Christ's body and blood are here to forgive your sins. If you come to this altar defending or excusing your sins, you're saying you don't want to be forgiven. You can't be forgiven for a sin you defend or excuse, because who wants to be forgiven for what he or she won't admit to be sin? Like on the cross, the thief who admitted his guilt was promised paradise. But the thief who demanded Jesus save him but never admitted his guilt found no help or forgiveness from the body and blood of Christ in time, and he was condemned by them in eternity. An unworthy communicant is a sinner who holds back some or all of his or her sins. Or an unworthy communicant is one who treats Holy Communion as ordinary bread and wine, not the body and blood of God the Son. You probably never say communion is a symbol or represent the body and blood of Jesus. But do you find yourself thinking, I am to treat the bread and wine as if it's the body and blood of Christ? If so, don't commune here. From the first edition of John Calvin's works to the very last, the as if is the mark of his doctrine. There's a world of difference between the Lutheran confession that communion is the body and blood of Christ and treating it as if it is. Now, someone who treats communion as if it is the body and blood of Christ at a reform altar, they're right. That is not the body and blood of Christ. So he doesn't sin in treating it as if it were. It's another matter at the altar where the body and blood of Jesus are. You commune at this altar with an as-if attitude, and you profane the holy body and blood of Jesus. The essence of profanity is not rude or crude speech, thoughts, or actions, but treating something holy as ordinary. The book of Hebrews says when Esau treated his holy birthright as worth less than a bowl of lentils, he profaned it. It is profanity not to see the holy body and blood of Jesus on this altar, in my hands, in your mouth and body. Such blindness is guilty of doing exactly what Peter did. Peter would not acknowledge Jesus as his friend or master, let alone his Lord or God. When you think you receive just bread and wine, you're guilty of denying your Lord and God who is present. In fact, bowing and kneeling before just praying bread and wine, that would be idolatry. But it gets worse. Not only are you Peter, you're an out-and-out enemy of Christ. See how they abused the holy body and blood of Jesus by slapping, by spitting, by whipping, by beating, by crucifying. Whatever is done to the bread and wine of Holy Communion is done to the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever reverence is shown to the bread and wine of Holy Communion, that is done to the Lord Jesus Christ. Likewise, whatever irreverence is shown, whatever disregard is shown, whatever disdain, mockery, or levity is shown to the bread and wine of communion, that's really done to the Lord Jesus Christ. Hear what we as Lutherans confess. No one except an Arian heretic who denies that Jesus is true God can or will deny that Christ himself, true God and man, who is truly and essentially present in the supper, should be adored in spirit and truth in the true use of this sacrament. That's from our Formula of Concord. By the singing of the Lamb of God in the communion liturgy, by bowing and kneeling if able, we are acknowledging and adoring our Lord God who is present once again on earth in Holy Communion. The old man Martin Luther, kneeling to lick up the blood of Christ he accidentally spilled on the church floor. The ancient liturgical practices of pouring the blood of Christ into a drain going straight to the ground and burning the body of Christ that could not be eaten, they all testify that communion is the holy body and blood of our God and Savior. If you treat as ordinary, if you forget whose presence you're really in, or you regard it as plain food, you're guilty of profaning the body and blood of Jesus. You're standing at the foot of the cross, all right, but you're not remembering what he did for you there or proclaiming his death until he comes. You're the Roman soldier cracking jokes. You're the church leaders mocking him. You've got the blood of Jesus on your hands, all right, but precisely in the way that Pilate didn't want it. Well, who then dare ever consider himself or herself a worthy communicant? First, a worthy communicant is not judged so by your standards. It is not a matter of peering into the depths of your heart and seeing if there's a green light flashing saying, go. If you go by your own standards, either you will not go when you should, or you'll go when you shouldn't. Luther says it's the trick of the devil who says, you're not fit today, wait until tomorrow. He said that when he listened to that, he only grew colder and colder towards the sacrament until he found he had no desire to go at all. However, if you have your own litmus test set up and you go based on passing your own standards, you'll go when you shouldn't. Holy Communion is a dying to self. Luther admonished communicants, go freely and happily to the sacrament and die to yourself in it. Well, if you go only after passing your test, you're still very much living to yourself. In the Greek liturgies, the pastor invited communicants to the altar with the words, the holy things for the holy ones. Well, the congregation didn't respond, the holy ones are us, here we come. No, they responded, one is holy, one is Lord, Jesus Christ, to the glory of God the Father. Where many have learned to set up a standard in their own heart is from a misunderstanding of this part of our catechism. It does say anyone who does not believe these words or doubts them is unworthy. Well, the devil uses this to poke you, to barb you, to torment you, saying, do you really believe? But then, are you these doubts? Our confession of faith, the Formula of Concord, that came 50 years after the Catechism, saw this problem and corrected it. Here I'm quoting, worthiness does not depend on the greatness or smallness, the weakness or the strength of faith. It depends on Christ's merit. Worthy communion does not require a certain amount of faith, but believing in the right object. Do you come believing Christ is bodily present to forgive your sins, including weak and doubting faith? Then Christ Jesus is here for you. The truth of the matter is that a worthy communicant is someone who knows they are unworthy. The Orthodox Church has this right. Right before they commune, they individually say what the centurion said to Jesus, who was on his way to heal his servant. They say, "Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof." A worthy communicant is not someone who thinks that they're holy enough to go, but someone who knows they're not. St. Ambrose said that since the blood of Christ is poured out every time for the remission of sins, I ought to receive it always. Because I continually sin, I constantly need to have the remedy. But I feel so restless, so troubled, my conscience accuses me everywhere I turn. Should you then wait till your conscience is at ease? Again, if you do that, you'll never come. A troubled conscience is not an indication that you ought not to come to communion. Your conscience is not God. It's not the voice of God in your heart. Your conscience can be too hard, in which case you don't feel guilty when you should. But it can also be too soft, in which case you feel guilty when you shouldn't. Or worst of all, you can have an evil conscience, which feels guilty all the time for literally everything. If it rains when it shouldn't, well, it's your fault. If your kids don't like the meal, you're guilty. If everyone is not happy all of the time, you feel guilty. Luther said this about who receives communion worthily. Namely, those in whom there is the fear of death, those who have timid and despairing consciences and live in fear of hell. In another place, he said, it is useful and necessary that the more restless a person's conscience, the more he should go to the sacrament. Startle you? But isn't this what our Lord did? He told the fearful, fear not. He told the heavy burden to come to him with their burdens. When the centurion said he was not worthy to have the Lord come to him, the Lord helped him anyway. And when Peter realized he was so sinful that the Holy Lord should depart from him, did Jesus go? No. Who is a worthy communicant? Our Lutheran confessions answer this in detail. I'm quoting, "The true and worthy guests are the Christians who are weak in faith, fragile and troubled, who are terrified in their hearts by the immensity and number of their sins and think they are not worthy, who feel the weakness of their faith and deplore it, and who desire with all their hearts to serve God." Let's bring this back to the Friday we call good. It's not those who came away from the cross beating their breasts in bitter sorrow over what their sins have done to Jesus who used the cross rightly. No, it's those who see that he gave his body and shed his blood there for them. The highest praise, the highest honor, the highest adoration you can give is to eat and drink Holy Communion in joyous relief that your sins are being forgiven for all time and eternity. Amen.